The Bruce Siski Show. Interact with the show on social media. Tell us what you think and learn about upcoming guests. Follow Bruce Siski Show on Twitter.
That's my bad. I was sending a tweet.
Visit KDAL610.com to stream the show or catch it on the 610 KDAL mobile app. Free from iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your apps.
And the truth shall set you free.
Thanks for listening to The Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:12 on a Monday morning, 15th day of August, 2022. It's The Bruce Siski Show on KDAL. Thank you very much for tuning in this morning. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. We've got some ground to cover in the next couple of days, and then we'll be taking the rest of the week off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. There is no show Wednesday because of twins. And then we'll have best of shows for you on Thursday and Friday back in studio on Monday. In betwixt that, today we'll talk some high school football. Yes, you heard that correctly, high school football. Yeah, it is that time of year. High school football is here. Wisconsin kicks off this week. And they'll start with Superior at Wausau West, Ashland at Northwestern, etc. All that happening on Friday. And we'll talk to the head coach at Superior. And a longtime head man, Bob DeMeyer, joins the radio show at about 10:35. We'll get his thoughts on the 2022 Spartans trying to turn the page from an uncharacteristically difficult 1-8 campaign in 2021. So that's coming up. Minnesota teams on this foggy Monday getting their practices kicked off today. Football, soccer, volleyball, cross country, all getting their fall practice sessions cranked up today. Good luck to all those kids as well. Minnesota football season begins 2 weeks from this coming Friday. We've got, before that, soccer and cross country getting started. Volleyball as well. I believe all those, their first competitions are next week, I think. Don't quote me on that. I believe I checked ahead on the calendars. I think I saw next week for first competition dates in those sports. So, yeah, we're getting it fired up. Fall sports season is here. Don't worry, summer still continues. That is the rule around here. Football from the weekend, Vikings and Packers both dropped their preseason openers. Certainly some notable things that happened. And we'll, as we get back in studio next week, we'll get checked in on Vikings and Packers training camp. And I think the one thing that we can take away from the game yesterday with the Vikings, and it was a storyline that came up. I know Matthew Caller wrote about it at the Purple Insider last week. The potential does exist. And I still think after yesterday, I admit I didn't watch. It's just preseason football, and I can barely care enough to watch a Packers preseason game. But I think the one takeaway we can get from yesterday is that what Matthew Caller wrote last week, and he's not the only one that covered this last week, is, I think, still valid. There is a very good, and that's a very good chance. There's a non-zero chance, we'll leave it at that, that Kirk Cousins' backup when the Vikings take on the Packers September 11th at U.S. Bank Stadium is not currently on the roster. I think there's a very real possibility of that. I know Kellen Mond was sharp yesterday, 9-14, 119, 2 touchdowns to Albert Wilson, but he's going to have to show quite a bit here in the preseason, and maybe he will, to convince the Vikings that he is a valid choice as Kirk Cousins' number two. I would not be surprised if Sean Mannion was not on this team against the Packers September 11th. That would not shock me one bit. In fact, I almost would say I expect that to happen. That's just how I think about this. I never thought much of Sean Mannion as a player. He's yet to do anything in a Vikings uniform to make me think otherwise, so we'll see how that all plays out. The running game did well for the Vikings yesterday. Ty Chandler, 50 yards on 5 carries. And the offensive line had a pretty good day. Largely against backups, I understand that. But it's a good jumping off point for new head coach Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings. The Packers on Friday night, if you just looked at the stats and you did not watch the game, your takeaway is that Jordan Love is not very good. That is certainly understandable. Jordan Love threw 3 interceptions in the first half on Friday in Santa Clara. And if you're looking just strictly at the stats, which a lot of people do when it comes to preseason football games, because, again, why would you subject yourself to watching them? I understand that. But if you just looked at that stat, you'd think Jordan Love had a very, very bad night. And in some respects, you wouldn't be wrong. He missed on some throws that he should have been able to hit. And he did, I thought, look a little herky-jerky at times. But he also looked more comfortable, more sure of himself than he ever has while playing for Green Bay. Preseason, regular season, doesn't matter. I thought he did a lot of good things. And yes, he threw three interceptions. Two of those were off the hands of his receiver. Romeo Dubs went up in the air to catch a ball that I thought was, at first I thought that was not a very good throw, but then I went back and looked, and frankly, Jordan Love did his job. He gave his receiver a chance to make a play while making sure the ball was not going to be intercepted. Romeo Dubs got two hands on the ball, but then lost a hand battle with the defensive back who was able to take the ball away from Romeo Dubs. That can't happen. And he'll have to learn from that, will the young receiver. And then the other one, Packers are on their way in to score. And a second, I think it was a second down at like 14 after a penalty. And Love just right on the hands of tight end Tyler Davis, who had a terrible, no good, very bad night. Missed a couple of blocks and also put this ball in the air on a tip drill that was picked off and returned for like 50 yards to set up a San Francisco score. It was that kind of night for Jordan Love. The third interception, Matt LaFleur on the halftime on the Packers television network said that two receivers, including the intended target, Amari Rodgers, ran the wrong route. And Love just trying to make a play. It was third down and nine. He tried to force one in to Rodgers, and Rodgers had no chance to catch football. So Love goes 13 to 24, 176, two touchdowns, including a beautiful throw of Dubs on a fourth down, and the three interceptions. I thought he looked okay. I thought he looked pretty good. Threw the ball generally well. It's a good jumping off point for him because he's going to start again Friday night against New Orleans. I would presume he will see defensive starters at least a little bit in that game. Maybe not a ton, but at least a little bit. And we'll see how she goes. 7 o'clock Friday at Lambeau Field on the game AM 710. The Vikings will play Saturday night at US Bank Stadium versus San Francisco. That will kick off at 6 at the bank. So joint practices for the Vikings and Niners this week on Wednesday and Thursday. Joint practices for the Packers and Saints, I should say, on Tuesday and Wednesday. Baseball, it was not a good weekend for the Twins. They had a good result Friday night. Tyler Mahle and the bullpen combined on a 4-0 shutout. Combined four-hitter. The Twins got enough offense and enough pitching to beat a team that they should be able to beat. Gilberto Celestino, a two-run home run. The Twins actually got two base hits with runners in scoring position, and those would serve to be the only two hits the Twins got in such situations the rest of the weekend. 0 for 14 with runners in scoring position on Saturday, a game that the Angels came back to win 5-3 in 11 innings. And then yesterday, 0 for 4, not nearly enough traffic in the bases, and the Twins, after a two-run Byron Buxton home run in the first inning, lose 4-2. Now 2.5 back of the Guardians in the AL Central. That is not the end of the world. They've got 8 head-to-head with Cleveland in September, but you certainly don't want to be that far behind going into that. And the Twins have got to figure this thing out. They look like a team that's right now doing just enough to lose games. It's the classic, you know, you see it in hockey where you feel like you do a lot of good things and every mistake ends up in the back of your net. In baseball, it's one of those things where you can't get the clutch hit. You can't make the clutch pitch. And every one of those situations, it feels like it doesn't go your way. That happens in baseball sometimes. You got to find a way through it. Twins get Kansas City at Target Field starting tonight, 6:40. Joel Ryan, Chris Bubik, the starting pitchers tonight. Then Sonny Gray and Zach Greinke at 6:40 tomorrow. Noon Wednesday, Tyler Mahle and Daniel Lynch will get those starts. The Brewers had a tough weekend in St. Louis. Just couldn't score enough runs. Good ball game on Saturday. Entertaining ball game. Great pitchers duel. Corbin Burnes and Adam Wainwright head-to-head. They were both outstanding. And the Brewers scratched across two runs in the 10th inning to win 3-2. After getting a tying home run from Luis Arias in the top of the 8th inning off of Wainwright, who ended up throwing 9 complete for St. Louis. Then Miles Michaelis throws 8 yesterday. And the Cardinals get 4 in the 8th off Taylor Rogers, including an Albert Pujols 3-run home run to win 6-3. The Brewers go with the left-handed Rogers against a largely right-handed St. Louis lineup, and they pay dearly for it. I'll leave Craig Counsell to explain that strategy because I don't understand it. Brewers now a game and a half back of the Cardinals. They'll get the Dodgers at AmFam Field. 4-game series against baseball's best team starting tonight. Freddie Peralta versus Julio Urias. Tomorrow at 7, Brandon Woodruff versus Ryan Pepiot, who's filling in for Clayton Kershaw out injured. 7 o'clock Wednesday, Eric Lauer versus 14-game winner All-Star Tony Gonsolin. And then Thursday at 1 to wrap up the series, Corbin Burns will start against Andrew Heaney of the Dodgers. LA's 12-game winning streak snapped yesterday as Kansas City beat the Dodgers 4-0 in KC. So the Dodgers and Brewers will meet for a big 4-game series. Milwaukee trying to stay alive here and stay afloat in the NL Central. It will not be easy because they get the Dodgers. Who do the Cardinals play this week? Just out of curiosity. Let's see. I got to think they're going on the road, St. Louis. Cleveland, by the way, a doubleheader today against Detroit. So the Twins, a chance. I mean, they can get a win in Kansas, or Detroit can sweep Cleveland. You gain a game and a half. That's not the worst day in the world. The Cardinals have the day off today, and they host Colorado starting tomorrow night at Busch Stadium. A couple more notes. The Huskies victorious yesterday, 8-6 over Eau Claire. Game one of that best of three Northwoods League playoff series. They will play again tonight. That is a 7 o'clock start in Eau Claire for game two of that series. The Huskies can advance with a victory tonight. Yesterday's win, their first of the season against Eau Claire. They went 0-8 against the Express in the regular season. Yeah, you picked a good time for the first one. The Express win the game tonight to even the series. They'll play a deciding game three. That would be tomorrow night also in Eau Claire. World Juniors, Bulldog Junior Wyatt Kaiser, 2 goals on Saturday as the U.S. beat Austria 7-0. Then yesterday, the U.S. closes out group play with a 3-2 win late last night over Sweden. Future Colorado College goaltender Caden Emberico, 28 saves. Matthew Coronado from Harvard scored twice for the U.S. The U.S. outscores the four adversaries in Group B 22-4 and now advances into the quarterfinal round where the Americans will play Czechia tomorrow, or make that Wednesday. They have a day off today and a day off tomorrow. Quarterfinals are Wednesday, all 4 games being played Wednesday. And the game on Wednesday, time to be announced for the U.S. and the Czechs. 3 more games today to close out group play, then they'll set up the quarterfinals on Wednesday. The semifinals are on Friday, and the medal games will be played in Edmonton on Saturday. Good luck to Wyatt Kaiser, Dominic James, and Team USA. We will run a timeout here. First day of practice on the Minnesota side. It's game week in Wisconsin. Head coach of the Superior football team, Bob DeMeyer, visiting about 10:35. We'll talk Spartan football heading into 2022. Monday morning, Bruce Siski Show, 610, 103.9 KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. Today we continue our 14-team Big Ten preview sponsored by our great friends at Federated Insurance. We'll preview Penn State after this. We are professionals. We are family and friends. We are volunteers. We are community partners. We are a team dedicated to helping you succeed. We help protect and serve America's businesses. When you need us, we're here to help. At Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours. Rated A-plus Superior by AM Best Company. Tanner Hoops gives us a preview of the Nittany Lions.
Penn State is coming off a disappointing 7-6 season in 2021, a season that included a 4-5 mark in Big Ten play. Head coach James Franklin talks about what his team needs to do to get back to Big Ten title contention in 2022. It all starts with his strengths on offense.
I put our tight end room up against any other program in the country. O-line is the group that we come and talk about every single year, and I tell you, this is going to be the year for the next step at that position. I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to let them prove that to you on the field, but I've been very, very pleased.
Franklin went on to discuss the impact that nose tackle P.J. Mustipher will bring to the table with his return in 2022.
Obviously, everybody that covers the Big Ten closely understands how important P.J. Mustipher has been for our program over the last 4 years. He's back and ready to go. He wished that he was ready for spring ball. He wasn't. But the most important thing is he's ready for camp.
The Nittany Lions opened the 2022 season on the road against conference rival Purdue on September 1st.
The Golden Gophers will play at Penn State in a whiteout primetime game on October 22nd. Tomorrow, we'll preview Ohio State. Our Big Ten reports are sponsored by Federated Insurance, where it's our business to protect yours. That's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
Your Twin Ports home for UMD Bulldog Hockey.
Shot score! UMD!
KDAL.
10:31 Monday morning. Bring you some news, and then we're going to talk some football on a foggy Monday morning. It is game week for high school football teams in Wisconsin. Superior is set to open the 2022 campaign at Wausau West on Friday. We visit next with the head coach of the Spartans, Bob DeMeyer, on the radio show after a CBS News update on KDAL.
The Bruce Siski Show.
You know what? I didn't want to play this card. Certainly not this early. But guess what? Guess who's got the Subaru Impreza? Me. Guess who's got all the money? Me. Guess who's got a winning personality? Me. What do you have? You have a nice hairline. Fine. You have a strong jaw. Fine. But I got to tell you something, mister. Your personality needs some work.
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAL.
10:37, fog continues. It's a little bit better visibility downtown Duluth than it was when we started the show. Not much. Still, temperatures hovering right around 60 degrees with northeast winds right off the lake. Tomorrow, Matt Wellens, Duluth News Tribune. UMD just promoting Adam Krause to men's hockey associate head coach. We expected that move. An announcement of a new assistant coach could be imminent at this point. I've heard a couple of names bandied about there. And athletic director search, of course, continues as we begin the ramp up to hockey season, which is about 6 weeks out now. As the Bulldog men prepare to open their season, women will open up the weekend before that on Long Island. Joining us now, head coach of the Superior football team. Good morning to Bob DeMeyer.
Good morning, Bruce. How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Fantastic. I appreciate having me on.
You got it. It's a game week. You got to be excited. Get a chance to play some games now, and it feels early, but it always does.
It does. As you know, on the Wisconsin side of things, we start a little bit earlier, and we've been at it 2 weeks and fresh off our scrimmage in Rice Lake on this past Friday, and we're looking forward to kicking off this Friday against Wausau West.
I'm going to talk about that first. I forget how long ago they went to this schedule. You've got 2 weeks of games before the kids are in school. What do you think of that? It feels like a coach's dream because you got almost a month with these kids where they're focused on football.
Well, there's pros and cons to it. You know, some families and coaches included there, that's a lot to sacrifice, a month of summer, but you're giving up before school starts, really. But, we tell our kids and the parents, where else would you want to be? And with your buddies out on the football field and having fun. But we do lose some kids and we lose some coaches over that. It's a huge sacrifice and time commitment. But those that do it, they have great experience.
Last season, tough campaign for you guys at 1-8. Your perspective, real quick. What went wrong last year? And I'm guessing this is you're hoping this is obviously a one-off.
No doubt, Bruce. I don't want to make excuses, but there's some reasons why things went the way they did. And quite honestly, that our record and the scoreboard doesn't indicate how tough our kids were last season and how they competed day in and day out. Turnovers really, really hurt us last year. We started off a lot of games, turning the ball over the first couple drives. That's not the recipe for success at any level of football. So that was a big factor. It's been a big point of emphasis this offseason and this early 2 weeks in camp here. just take care of the football. And the other thing is, you know, COVID, as it did everybody else, it hurt us tremendously. We played that spring season, then turned around and came back and played again in the fall. And we lost some coaches that and kids that, you know, it's a quick turnaround. So that was a factor. We didn't have a regular off season with our leadership group we meet with all off season and in the weight room and a lot of factors. But I think the biggest factor was just the turnovers and takeaways.
What are your numbers like here going into the fall?
Real good. Actually, they're up from the last couple of years, of course. And again, that's a sign of, you know, just what we went through. But we're at about 127 players. We have 8 or 10 managers. Numbers are real solid right now. We've got a real large freshman class and a large senior class. So, and that's a good sign, too. The seniors came back after a very tough season last year, and got almost every one of them back, and it's been a great camp so far.
We're talking to Superior football coach Bob DeMeyer. You know, how are your numbers at the youth level? Because you guys are really proud of your youth program. You put a lot into that youth program, and it's certainly reaped its benefits here over the years.
Yeah, numbers are solid there too. We do always pick up more once school starts, and that's just kind of the way it goes. But they're up a little bit again from the last couple of years. We've gone to flag football now, third grade through sixth grade. The first year that they play tackle football in our program is seventh grade now. And the kids that played flag football last year, we got some resistance from that. But once they got the season started and they started playing games, people loved it. The kids loved it. Parents loved it. I think they had an awesome experience. So hopefully that's going to take off a little bit more this season. But they're solid at that level, too, third through eighth grade.
We're looking at a senior group that you mentioned. They come back largely intact, which is great after a tough season last year. I'm sure you're a very busy guy that doesn't get a chance to look at all the coverage of your football team, so this might have slipped through the cracks, but I want to read a quote from you, from your senior quarterback, Carson Guttler. "I'm out for blood with everyone right now. I just want to win, especially after last year. This year is going to be a big bounce-back year for us, and everyone's chomping at the bit, ready to go." How do you react to that? I got to think you love hearing that from one of your senior leaders.
Yeah, Gutty's a dude. He's about as competitive as anybody we've ever had. And that's just where he's at, and that's where his comrades are at. They want to play, and they a great offseason. We had a lot of multi-sport athletes, so they know how to compete, and they put the time in the weight room, and hopefully that's all going to translate to a successful season so far. So far it has.
What was the normal summer like for you, your coaches, your players? You mentioned you played that spring season last year, and I know talking to you before last fall, that certainly had an effect on everything in the summer and the early fall.
It did. You know, normally we're in the weight room, a couple hours each day, and we have a weight program and a speed, agility, quickness program, and numbers have been real good with that. And last year at this time, over the summer anyway, everything was different. We couldn't have spotters, and everybody was masked up and had to be separated, and it was just not anything like what you need to do to prepare to play any high school sport. But we did the best we could with it. Kids play 7-on-7. They go out on the field and practice when they can and do some, you know, leadership captain type stuff. And just a busy summer where they get together a lot, and it wasn't like that a year ago. So this past summer, it was more back to the way it used to be. And again, I hope that what we see so far, that's going to translate into a fun, successful season for us.
Visiting with Superior football coach Bob DeMeyer, Spartans open up at Wausau West on Friday. You did get a chance to scrimmage down in Rice Lake this past week. What'd you learn?
Well, we learned, like we do that every year at a scrimmage this time of year. There were a lot of good things, real solid play from a lot of kids. And we've got to clean up some mental things and just be more assignment sound. I liked how we played physical and fast, and that's something that we really stress every day. We came out healthy, which is number one. That's most important. I like the way the kids competed, but we know we have to have 4 real good solid days of practice this week to get ready to play in a real game now on Friday night.
Sam Berthia, one of your seniors on the offensive and defensive lines. Tell me about him, and tell me about this offensive line that I would think is going to be a big key to whatever you guys do.
No doubt is. Sam is he's another dude. He's he and Gutty are equally competitive. They just they do whatever it takes. They're solid kids in every facet of life. They're high character, great kids. And Sam is a tremendous leader. He's a weight room kid. He's a team kid. He does whatever he can to help you know, his teammates, the younger players, kids that are competing for his spot. He wants to win. He wants to help everybody get better. That's just the way he is. And up front, he's certainly a leader with that group, and that'll be one of the stronger points of the team this year is those kids up front. We have a lot returning from last season.
Jack Revord, you went and shook the Revord tree and found another one. How good is he? How good could he be, kind of a two-way guy for you?
He's a tremendous kid. And I believe you know that he's one of the better race car drivers in the Twin Ports.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so he's sacrificing a lot, and we've talked a couple times this off season and even this short preseason here. He's missing out on some racing on Friday nights. He said, "Coach, you only get one opportunity to play high school football. I can race the rest of my life." And that's the kind of kid he is. He's a team player. He's a leader. He's just a tough kid. High character. We got a lot of them, Bruce. I know that's what you want to hear, but we've got a lot of great kids, and Jack is certainly at the forefront of that group of kids.
It's Jack's brother, by the way. Ross plays at UMD. Should point that out for those that are unaware. You get Wausau West to open up on Friday. I know a lot of times early in the year it's more about you than it is about them, but what do you know about this Spartan team you're running into?
They, you mean Wausau West, the Warriors?
Yeah, the Warriors, not Spartans. I was bound to screw one of them up at some point.
they're very solid. They've got a great program. They went deep in the playoffs last year. They return a lot. They've got a couple one in particular, highly recruitable kid. He's gotten several big-time offers. They look good on film from their scrimmage on Friday. And like I said, they went deep in the playoffs last year. So they've got real good numbers, very solid team, and it's a road game that you know, we've never faced them before, so it'll be a fun matchup.
You faced them in hockey a lot of times, though. It's the same thing.
our hockey coach reminded me of that on Saturday at a golf tournament, so he made sure to tell me that.
Oh yeah, they're the longtime rivals in hockey. Certainly you don't take any weeks off. The Big Rivers is a really, really good conference. Before that, you play Wausau West, and then you play Rice Lake, another team that we're all very familiar with, and they're usually very good.
Yeah, and it's kind of odd to say that Rice Lake is a non-conference opponent.
But, yeah,
they're a playoff team year in and year out. And last year they lost in the state championship game, and we scrimmaged them on this past Friday, and they look to be as solid as they were last year, and they just do things very, very well. And the Big Rivers is, as you said, it's as tough as any league out there. Every Friday night is going to be a battle, and our kids know that, and we prepare for it every week, is you know, knowing that it's not going to be an easy game on our schedule. There is no such thing. So we prepare accordingly.
Looking forward to following along Friday night at Wausau West. Home opener next Friday versus Rice Lake. Bob DeMeyer's the head coach. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Bruce. And hey, I got to tell you, you deserve a couple of days off. It sounds like you're heading for that right now. We appreciate all you do for us.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's going to be. This is where we got to take the downtime now because the ramp up is coming in a hurry because UMD football opens 2 weeks from Thursday. Yes, I said that out loud, against Southwest Minnesota State. And we got women's hockey, we got men's hockey, we've got, by the way, if you want to check the schedule, full schedule is now available. I finalized this morning women's hockey broadcast on KDAL. So that's all on the website, KDAL610.com. Check that out and make your plans now to join us for Bulldog Sports starting September 1st from Mulaski Stadium, as UMD does battle with Southwest Minnesota State. And we'll have plenty more with Bulldog football as we continue to kind of run up to the season next weekend. Volleyball and soccer kick off their campaigns. We'll hear from those coaches as well. And we'll get to a regular schedule once again of Bulldog coach and student-athlete interviews on the radio show every week, so be tuned in for that. Couple of things before we take off. If you are in Wisconsin, you're a deer hunter, the antlerless permits are now available for the northern region as of 10 o'clock this morning. $12 for Wisconsin residents, $20 for non-residents, $5 for youth ages 11 and under. gowild.wi.gov has them online, or at licensed sales locations, you can pick those up. They are available until they sell out or until the season comes to an end, whichever comes first. So depending on the management zone you want to hunt in, depends on how many are available. You got to check the website for that information. When you go there, you have to know what zone you intend to hunt in. So keep that in mind. And Minnesota United sets a franchise record last night with its sixth road win of the MLS season, 2-1 in Nashville. Alan Benitez, the winning goal for Minnesota. That came in the 75th minute. Very important win for the Loons. They stay in the upper half of the Western Conference. They're in fourth place. It is a tightly packed mess of teams in the Western Conference right now. And Minnesota's just trying to stay in a top four spot for home playoffs in round one, if nothing else. Right now, 38 points, one up on fifth place Salt Lake, and one back of third place Dallas. They get second place Austin at Allianz Field coming up on Saturday. Wrap it up in a moment. 10:50, Bruce Siskey Show, 610, 103.9 KDAL.
Your Twin Ports home for Twins baseball.
In the corner, goal!
KDAL.
10:59, Monday morning. Fog continues downtown. Hopefully it'll clear up soon. I'm tired of the fog. It's like April around here. Not August. Go away, fog. Let's have a nice week. Tomorrow, feed my Friday, I guess. Matt Wellens, Duluth News Tribune. We talk Bulldog hockey, some more news as the offseason continues. But it ends very soon. Brad Bennett, sound off next. Have a great Monday. Thank you for listening, everybody.
This has been the Bruce Siskey Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siskey Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siskey Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28 FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.